This is the Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network.
That is awesome.
What the fuck?
Dynasty Happy Hour presents the Fantasy Tilt Podcast. Hosts, Keaton Denley, Tim Torch, and Dynasty Frank.
Welcome into the Fantasy Tilt Podcast. This is episode 5. It is the 23rd as we're recording this, August 23rd. My name is Keaton. I am joined again, as always, by Tim Torch. How are you doing, Tim?
Awesome. This is a great week. We got some fun stuff to get on tilt about. I'm so ready to go. This is going to be a good week, and we're heading into week 3.
Good stuff, good stuff. And he of 6,000 Twitter followers, the Dynasty Frank. What's up, Frank?
What's going on, fellas? Yes, I'm lucky enough to have 6,000 crazy people that that follow me. Thank you very much. I can't wait. This is our final division, or two divisions, right? This is our final day doing the divisions. I'm just so ready for football. Enough. Yes. Enough with Narrative Street and whatever. And just let's just get to football. And let's stop playing preseason games with stars. Stars in preseason games.
You know, there's going to be more of that because this is week 3 of the preseason. So this is the dress rehearsal. You know, everybody's going to be out there for probably at least a half. It's brutal. Hopefully we can avoid those injuries. And I guess we'll just get into the news because now that we're talking about it. As we're recording this, it appears that Odell Beckham Jr. has avoided a serious injury. If you haven't seen that knee injury or what looked like, he got bodied by a DB. Kind of went a little low, and as his knee was planted, just one of those horrific-looking injuries. And apparently he's just escaped with an ankle sprain. They haven't really elaborated on it too much, but he's got some swelling and some pain. They're calling him day-to-day. There's also been reports that he may or may not be available for week 1. Are you guys worried about his week 1 status? Tim?
I was surprised we didn't talk about the Giants' number 1 wide receiver, Brandon Marshall, getting getting injured. One of my favorite listens as far as injuries go is actually Stefania Bell with the Fantasy Focus when she actually talks about an injury. And when she was talking today about how Odell Beckham Jr. was centimeters away from tearing his ACL, or if he would have had his foot planted versus just having his toe down so he could shift his leg, it's amazing to think about how centimeters would be the difference between a high ankle sprain and a ACL.
Yeah, just the playing surface they were on. If he was on a slicker surface or a muddier surface or something, I mean, he could have been toast.
So much different. But OBJ, he is what he is. I think if you're really playing smart, you got to move him down a little bit. So those guys right at the top, you may be willing to push a little bit harder on. So Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, if they weren't ahead of OBJ before, they should be now.
So let's play the name game then a little bit. So you got Antonio Brown and Julio Jones. Frank, would you take OBJ ahead of Mike Evans?
Yes. Yeah, I would. Okay.
So you still have him as the third wide receiver then, basically?
Yeah, I still have him as the third. I had him as the second wide receiver.
Oh, okay, so you moved him down a little
bit. Wait, Frank, did you actually put up your rankings?
They will be on. Wait, see, this is what I want to do for our listeners.
There's still work,
and the people are good fans at Dynasty Happy Hour. I'm going to wait till week 3 of the preseason instead of just keep doing it every day. You know what I mean? Like, things happen, things change in preseason, things change in training camp. So why keep doing it? Plus, you know, like this Google Sheets, I got to get on the Google Sheets and do it. But I will definitely do it by week 1. I promise. I'm going to do it after this. How about this? After this show, I will do our my rankings. But that's pretty good. Lord. Odell Beckham Jr. is not hurt. When I first saw it, I was livid. I was scared. I didn't know what to think. My daughter was worried about me. She's okay. I'm okay now, though. But he might, Dan Graziano of, I think it's the Post or the Daily News or one of the publications, says that he might miss week one. I don't think he's going to miss week one. He was just being Odell Beckham, being extra, you know, in the tunnel, went down to his knee. Yes, it's high ankle sprain, but thank God it's not, you know, an ACL, an MCL or anything serious.
Well, Giants fans should be used to this by now, because didn't Sterling Shepard suffer a catastrophic knee injury that wasn't?
Right.
And it turned out to be an ankle sprain too, so.
Yeah, you heard that. Oh, he was crying on the field. And
carted off and all that stuff.
Carted off, and then, like, you hear an interview on one of the local radio stations. He goes, crying on the field? There was nobody on the field. There was no reporters on the field. Nobody. I did not cry. There was none of that going on. So I don't know where you guys got, you know, crying on the field. So I guess you can't, you know, you can't trust everything you hear.
Well, the OBJ news is obviously, it's relatively good news. And other relatively good news is that Chad Henne's going to start this Thursday for Jacksonville against Carolina. Is that good news for these receivers? I mean, or is it just going to kind of be gross anyway?
I don't know. Tim, what do you think? Because this is just disgusting. The Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback situation. Chad Henne. They're literally, I mean, they really hate this Bortles, and I get it. It just begs to, why can't I think this? Like, why aren't we thinking this right now? Kaepernick. Why isn't Kaepernick? Are they going to sign or, you know, kick the tires, as they say, with Colin Kaepernick in Jacksonville?
I just don't know. I'm with you. I don't know what to think of it right now. And people who are praising Chad Henne to be the next coming for the Jaguars, or to be able to at least push them towards the playoffs. Oh. I think we should all take a step back and look at what Chad Henne has done to this point. And so we have 12 touchdowns, 15 touchdowns, 11 touchdowns, 13 touchdowns as far as, so his career high is 15 touchdowns in a season. So
the perfect Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback.
Yeah. I guess if you're going to say he may be a competent veteran that can keep it on time, I don't know how Colin Kaepernick hasn't been thought of. I don't know how a guy like maybe Jay Cutler before he signed with Miami wasn't thought about, or I mean, Tyrod Taylor, because it's a dumpster fire there and they seem like they want to get Nate Peterman more involved anyway. There's so many different options. All right, I'll throw this one out there. I heard Brock Osweiler is being shopped around. What if Brock Osweiler ends up showing up down in I know. That's
I'd rather
what you
see
said,
Brandon well, Allen. I'd rather see Brandon Allen.
I want to see Brandon. If you're, you know what I mean? for those guys who play Superflex Dynasty, Brandon Allen is definitely a deep guy you should be picking up. Good enough arm. He comes out of Arkansas. And biggest knock on him for me, he was a little underwhelming as far as his – measurables, but he also has baby hands. So
additional Jacksonville news to kind of spin this for a redraft take. They're talking about shopping Allen Hurns as well. So with that news paired with the Chad Henne thing, what does this do for Allen Robinson and a guy like Marquise Lee, where, you know, if Marquise Lee is going to be the two in an offense that's hopefully going to be at least efficient with the opportunities that they're getting, does that give you guys any excitement for Marquise Lee, or are you moving Allen Robinson down? I mean, from a redraft perspective, obviously, because we kind of got into a little bit of the dynasty take, but what do you guys think there?
Are we into the South? We were talking about divisions. Are we up to the Jacksonville Jaguars now?
We can kind of keep rolling into that if we want.
Keep going into it. I have no idea what to think about this team, let alone this quarterback. Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns 2 years ago, and Blake Bortles. Blake Bortles won me a championship. You know what I mean? I'm like, this guy was a waiver wire pickup. Yes, garbage time, but I don't care. I mean, fantasy points are fantasy points, right? And so, and like A-Rob was great. And then last year happened, and I'm like, what the F happened? Like, what fell off? And then you see Blake Bortles in the preseason games. He's skipping stones to Allen Robinson. He misses him on a wide open. I mean, all he has to do is just throw it normal, and it's a touchdown. It's like a 60-something yard touchdown. Like, and he just totally underthrows it. It looks like he's regressing instead of progressing. It's just absolutely horrible. I don't know what to think. I really don't know what to think with Allen Robinson. I guess in redraft, you know what? I'm going to stay away from him. Just because this team is so in flux, I have no idea what to think of him. So I'm just going to stay away.
You're staying away from Allen Robinson.
I've been wanting to stay away from Sorry, go ahead, Tim.
I can't stay away from Allen Robinson. He's a guy the last 2 years has had 151 targets. And if you're telling me he's getting a more competent NFL thrower, whether – say what you want about Chad Henne, I think it, at least we can say he's going to make this offense run a little bit more on time or a little bit more efficient than it would have been through – Blake Bortles. So you could probably expect the same number of targets for Allen Robinson and hopefully better efficiency because he did drop somewhere around 600 yards with the same number of targets. So hopefully that efficiency goes up.
I just feel like there's wide receivers later, like the Sammy Watkins, even though I'm not a biggest fan of Sam, but I'd rather have Sammy Watkins. You know what? I don't even know what the hell. Julian Edelman, Stephon Diggs, Jameson Crowder, Willie Snead, Jarvis Landry's going behind Allen Robinson in redraft, Emmanuel Sanders. There's a bunch of players, wide receivers specifically, that I like and I just trust a little bit more this year. If this was going into last year, I was all about Allen Robinson because of the year before. Because of 2015, I'm like, this guy's a beast. You know, Blake Bortles is going to do it, but there's so much turmoil right now at the quarterback position that I just can't confidently pick Allen Robinson at 412, you know. So
right, well, here's how I'm addressing Allen Robinson and really that group of wide receivers as a whole this year with the Keenan Allens and the Allen Robinsons and the DeAndre Hopkins. My plan, and this has sort of been like the last couple of days as I'm preparing for like my home drafts and stuff, is I'm probably just going to go wide receiver hard early, like round one and two, go wide receiver, and then try to grab like Carlos Hyde and Mark Ingram or something in these rounds where you would have to make these ugly decisions on receivers. Just grab some starting running backs and then I'll go late and see if one of these guys falls to round five or six, and then just grab whoever's left. If my league doesn't like Watkins or something, I'll just grab whoever as like my third receiver or whatever when we get down to that point. But I don't want the headache. I mean, some of these guys are going to be good out of this group because most of them have done it before. But specifically with Allen Robinson, he starts to feel like Braylon Edwards to me. I know I'm not the first or only one to make this comparison, but he had that one magical season where he had 80 catches. What's that? Can you hear me, Tim?
Yeah, I can hear you. Careful. Oh. Just be careful with that one. That's a slippery slope for me. I'll say I have done one draft already to this point, and one actual home draft to this point, and I got Allen Robinson as my wide receiver two behind Demaryius Thomas, and I'm perfectly fine with that. Allen Robinson was my fourth round pick, DT was my third, and I got a couple nice running backs to start things off.
Yeah, see, I can get behind that. Definitely. Right.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, since we sort of rolled into the AFC South here, we can just kind of keep this going, and we'll get to the Texans. It sounds like Tom Savage is going to start at quarterback for this team. They got DeAndre Hopkins. CJ Fedorowicz is still playing an admiral tight end for this team. I mean, Bruce Ellington kind of flashed in the preseason game. I mean, does that give you hope for the rest of this passing attack, or are we still just thinking it's Hopkins and then basically Lamar Miller and that's it?
And Fedorowicz, I think.
And Fedorowicz. Do you guys like this team better with Savage or Watson? What do you think, Tim?
Can we fast forward to 2018 and I can try to answer that question?
No, redraft right now.
right.
It's a toss up right now. I would like to see the kid get in there just because they took him with the first round pick. I think he's their future. He does have some athletic upside. You saw from the scramble. So he had enough pocket awareness to knew to break the pocket and also make a nice move to the end zone. So that would be something nice to add. And I think that would be also a plus for Lamar Miller, having a quarterback that's not the statue standing back there that Tom Savage is. My big story for this team is actually going to be Lamar Miller and whether or not he can hold off Donta Foreman. Because Donta Foreman, whether he's running with the twos, threes, fours, or a practice squad, this guy just keeps showing that he can do all the things we didn't think he could do and catch the ball. And he's also showing that physicality we like. And Lamar Miller is just showing that he's going to show up for paychecks, and that's about it right now.
Yeah. I kind of like Nuke. I think Tom Savage, I'm hoping he's better than Brock Osweiler. when you look at that strength of schedules, the quarterbacks, Houston has the 28th hardest. So, you know, pretty easy quarterback schedule according to 4-for-4. Wide receivers, Nuke has the easiest wide receiver schedule in the league. And you would think like he had a disappointing season. When you think about last year, I mean, he finished as wide receiver 26. He had 954 yards and 4 touchdowns. So you're drafting him in the 3rd round, so you want better numbers than that. You want your wide receiver 1 numbers. I think this year he'll be more towards that wide receiver 12-ish, 10-ish. I think that's totally possible, especially since their running back, Lamar Miller, and I hear what you're saying, Tim, Dante Foreman. But again, you look at their schedule, it's a tough schedule. They face 10 top 12 rush efficient defenses this year. Okay. Last year they had the third easiest schedule against rushing defenses. And Lamar Miller still was, you know, underwhelming, let's just put it that way. But when it comes to pass efficient defenses, they only face 4 top 12 of them. So I think their passing game is gonna take a step up. It can't get any worse, right? I mean, Brock Osweiler was atrocious. It was offensive to watch. I could not watch it without being physically sick. This guy was horrendous. So I don't think Nuke or DeAndre Hopkins can get any worse. And he still put up 954 yards. So he's going to take a step forward. Going into 3rd round, though, 309 is his ADP, 14th wide receiver off the board. Ahead of Demaryius Thomas, Keenan Allen, Tyreek Hill, Alshon Jeffrey. Those are some heavy hitters to trust Tom Savage or Deshaun Watson, the rookie, to throw the ball to. So, you know, I could understand how somebody would pass him in the 3rd round, but I could also see with all the other stuff that, yeah, sure, I'm going to take, you know, going to plant my flag on Hopkins and see what he can do.
I do like the recipe here for Deshaun Watson, especially if you're playing in like a 2QB or a super flex league of any kind. He may not start right off the bat, but this is a team that has a receiver, a big bodied receiver with good hands. You can go up and make contested catches. They've got a running game and a good defense. And Watson, I'm not saying he's these guys, but he's a mobile quarterback that can get around. And when you look at successful rookie quarterback seasons over the last 10 years, they've been the Dak Prescotts and the Russell Wilsons and the Andrew Lucks and RG3s and these mobile kind of quarterbacks that can get out and roll. And I kind of see that with Trubisky as well. I'm kind of going off track a little bit here, but I think that these rookies can get in here and make some noise and at least provide for their offenses to be efficient around them, even if they don't become, you know, top 12 quarterbacks themselves. But they're just going to be competent enough to keep the team moving, and they'll get the opportunities because hopefully their defenses put them in good spots. Obviously, the Texans have a much better defense than we're talking about with Chicago, but I do think that there's hope in Houston, and I think they have to go to Watson sooner rather than later. I mean, unless Savage comes out and surprises some people, which I don't know if he can do that or not.
Those are great points. I think O'Brien just wants a quarterback to not lose a game because that defense, again, J.J. Watt back, that defense is a monster. I mean, Wade Phillips isn't there anymore, but still, I mean, it's still you just look at the personnel. There's monsters on that defense. So, yeah, it's smart. I mean, can we bring up O'Brien drafted Savage, correct? I'm pretty sure he drafted him. I'm almost positive he drafted. Yeah, he did, right, Tim? Yeah, so, you know, I mean, he also drafted Watson, but Watson's that rookie, even though we all know Watson's the future of that franchise.
Mm-hmm. All right, so speaking of futures of the franchise, I mean, the Titans have found their future quarterback. I mean, Marcus Mariota is the real deal, and he's got all the weapons in the world. When you're looking at even his tight ends are Delanie Walker and Jonnu Smith, who looks good, and then you have his receivers and Decker and Matthews and Corey Davis and 2 stud running backs. I'm really excited for Mariota this season. I think that I'm a little worried about trying to pick which one of these weapons is going to be useful. It sort of feels like it's going to be one of those, you know, passing attacks where each guy gets 750 yards and a handful of touchdowns and nobody's really all that useful on a season long pace. You guys are the more of the dynasty. I mean, does Corey Davis translate to a redraft value?
What do you think, Tim? I've struggled with that question a little bit with Corey Davis.
Corey Davis, I would say my one concern isn't him physically and kind of the type of wide receiver he is. It's the amount of time that he has missed in training camp to this point. He's been struggling with a hamstring up until this point, and we haven't really seen too much of him on the field. I personally think that he is definitely better than Rishard Matthews on that depth chart. And Eric Decker, those two are probably going to pick away at each other this year. And that's my concern, because Eric Decker is a guy, even though faulty sources have said that he's going to retire from his brothers, cousins, uncles, neighbors, gym friend. He didn't retire. And from everything I've read and heard, Eric Decker's actually looked very good in camp. So I will stifle how much you could really rely on Corey Davis this year. The rest of the offense, I absolutely love. Delanie Walker gets a small downtick just because they keep bringing in more pass catchers. And I do think it's going to eat away from him. I'm backing. I did take in the league I just mentioned recently. I got Derrick Henry in the 9th round, which I think was a good value, just because if DeMarco Murray misses time, I definitely think he's stepping in. But at this point, I don't want to recommend to anyone to reach for Derrick Henry, because he's looked terrible, like he's running through mud this preseason.
So, Frank, I'm going to put you on the spot here real quick. I've got the ADPs for the receivers for the Titans. We've got Decker at 803, Corey Davis at 1002, or Rishard Matthews at 1109. Which one would you pick?
So Decker 1109, Rishard Matthews.
Just is it just the last one, or do you like Rishard Matthews?
I like Rishard Matthews. I liked him in Miami. He's a solid legit player. I mean, he was their best wide receiver last year. And now they got better wide receivers. They drafted Corey Davis. My concern is that they were like literally 50-50 run pass ratio. They were 31st in the league and pass ratio. So I don't know if the targets are there for everybody. They still have a good offensive line. The third PFF rated him third, I think, fourth. Fourth rated offensive line. DeMarco Murray is going to beast. They come out and said it already that he's going to be their workhorse. He's an animal. He's just a fan. We all know DeMarco Murray's great. So I'm going to pick Rishard Matthews because he's already has a rapport with Mariota. He's the later. His ADP is much more enticing. And that's basically it. And I want DeMarco Murray this year, especially this year. I mean, he's got the 19th best strength of schedule, according to 4-for-4. The fourth best line on PFF. And on a team that ran, I think, jumbo sets the most in the league, or 12 personnel. That's two tight ends. So they don't like to spread it out. They don't like to spread the defense. They like to line you up and just run down your throat. And that's what they're going to do with DeMarco. So I'm a little concerned with their wide receivers, but I'll take Rishard Matthews. The 11th round? Sure. Why not?
Yeah, I definitely like DeMarco Murray this season, because it feels almost like you're getting a dynasty discount even in redraft leagues. Like, because people think, oh, he's old and busted or whatever, but it's like you can get one more really great year, even two. And all you need is one, because redraft, I mean, it's no skin off your back, right? Like, it's just okay.
You don't even look at ages. Who looks at an age in redraft? DeMarco Murray could be 40 years old. If he runs anywhere near like last year, then yeah, I want him.
Yeah, if he's there in the second round of my leagues, DGAF. I mean, just pick DeMarco Murray and be done with it.
Is he going to be in the second round? Where's he going right now? He's going at 112.
If he's my second pick, I am loving that. Loving it.
Absolutely.
That's pretty great. So we'll get to the Colts here next. So they're talking about Andrew Luck. Hopefully he's ready for, the start. We kind of talked about this a few weeks back about it seems like the team's kind of not really giving out a whole lot of information about this. Stephania Bell seemed to be a little scared about his availability. I mean, that's the biggest question it has to be for this team, because if Luck's not there, you just got to throw everybody out, right?
Oh, yeah. If Luck's not there, I don't want anybody. Nobody.
Right.
I don't think I want anybody from this team anyway. With Ryan Kelly hurt, Andrew Luck, he hasn't participated in any preseason activity, really. I don't think I'm touching a single member from this team at all. Frank Gore, I don't want any of it.
Hmm. I will say that I really like T.Y. Hilton here. I think that he is pretty much resistant to – I mean, he's coming on – and Andrew Luck's had his share of injuries in the last couple of years. But T.Y. Hilton is coming off of four straight 1,000-yard seasons. I think that he gives you at least big play potential if you had to use him, especially in like some sort of a best ball format or anything like that. I mean, he's a no-brainer. But I think that he's enough of a value if you can get him in the second round, back of the second round, something like that, where T.Y. Hilton is a big play guy who can put up big yards regardless of who's throwing the ball. I mean, it needs to be Luck for him to be, you know, a wide receiver one, but I do think that having that 1,000-yard floor feels pretty good, especially if you're getting him as your second wide receiver or, you know, on your team with a stud running back. So I really do like Hilton this year.
Yeah, Hilton is phenomenal. I feel like he's one of the most underrated players. We hardly talk about Hilton. I mean, Moncrief last year was getting all this hype and all this love, and T.Y. Hilton's just sitting there. He was the fifth scoring wide receiver last year, and he's going at the end of the 12th round. 12th round. He's going at the 12th pick of the second round, the end of the second round. But, I mean, he is an animal. 1,448 yards, 6 touchdowns, 143 targets, and 91 receptions. This guy is no joke. I would take Hilton in the second, in the end of the second round, third round. You can get a T.Y. Hilton who can put up those numbers. Sure. I mean, from what I've read, that they're still saying that Luck is going to be fine. They're expecting Luck to be able to play. If he comes back, guys, if he comes back and he's like, all right, Luck is going to be play one, starting game one. You found out today he's going to start game one. There's no doubt about it. What, are you drafting Hilton? Where he's at? Where he's going right now, Tim?
No, I'm not touching him at all. I have my concerns are with Andrew Luck, whether or not he'll be able to stay healthy this whole season, especially after losing Ryan Kelly, his center that I think they just drafted him last year and was a major upgrade to that offensive line. I'm very concerned about that. They haven't made enough improvements across that offensive line for me, because it just seems like, for me, it almost appears like they're not making the investment in their franchise.
Oh, they never did. They drafted Dorsett in the end of the first round instead of an offensive lineman. I mean, because you always need a short, fast wide receiver in the first round. But
and he's on the verge of getting cut right now. And Frank Gore, yes, he amazing pass protector. He the ageless wonder. I don't know what he's going to do back there either. I'm just staying away from everybody on this Colts team unless they're an extreme value. Jack Doyle, maybe, if he's going exceptionally late.
Oh, Doyle rules.
I'm just not touching him. And the drafts right now, you have to make the decision between T.Y. Hilton and Brandon Cooks. I could see easily going T.Y. Hilton there, but you also have Leonard Fournette, Dalvin Cook. I would take DeAndre Hopkins over T.Y. Hilton.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if we're good on the Colts there, I'm going to take a moment and thank our sponsors, the Sit or Start app. You guys, if you don't already have this app, I mean, if you're listening to us, you've heard me talk about this before, but the Sit or Start app is a must-have fantasy football app for your phone. You can get your headlines, your player comparisons, you know, who you need to start that week. If you're not getting that information from us, you can certainly get it on the app, you know, last minute, you know, on Sunday mornings or anything like that. You can even listen to our podcast and a few other podcasts in there. I believe they just added the Dynasty Trade Calculator podcast to that app, which is great. You can follow them at Sit or Start App on Twitter. It's a great thing. And don't forget to use our referral code TILT when you sign up for that, and you'll get double entries in their raffle this year. When they reach 10,000 users on the app, they are going to be giving away NFL tickets to a game of your choice. It's going to be a great thing for one lucky person using that app. Sit or Start App, check them out. And thanks again for sponsoring the show. So moving on to the NFC South, we'll start with the Panthers. And I know that the big question this offseason is how they're going to use their young phenom pass catcher. Frank, how do you think they're going to use Devin Funchess this season?
Son of a bitch.
That is.
Oh,
that
he's going to goat. He's going to so goat. Are you not serious about this Funches question?
No, I'm not. I'm not serious about Devin fucking Funches. No, yeah. McCaffrey.
We're talking about McCaffrey, and anybody who's seen him play in the preseason or his video coming out of training camp, this guy is amazing. He made Luke Kuechly, who's the number one linebacker in the league right now. Let's just put it to rest. I saw a poll on Twitter. Luke Kuechly is a fantastic linebacker. So you see a video coming out of Tramp. He made a camp, Tramp, coming out of camp. He made Luke Kuechly look like a rookie. He schooled Kuechly. He is elusive. Everybody, the whole defense is saying that they can't even touch this guy. So you look at their strength of schedule, 32nd. They have the easiest running back schedule, PPR. You have this player, this GOAT, of a running back, you got to feed him the ball. You have to find ways in the pass game or in the run game in between the tackles. You hear the offensive lineman saying that McCaffrey has the ability to run in between the tackles. And then obviously we already know that he out of the backfield, even as a slot receiver, he's amazing. I'm all about McCaffrey. I don't think I've heard anybody not like him. Before the preseason, before camp, people were like, oh, I don't know how they're going to use him. Carolina doesn't pass to their running backs often, I think, the least amount of targets to their running backs. But they didn't ever had a running back like McCaffrey before. So I'm all about McCaffrey. I love him. He's going, especially, I just saw this in the third round. I don't know. I like that. Who else do they have? They have Kelvin Benjamin, right? The GOAT. They have Kelvin. That's all they have. They have Greg Olsen, and that's it. And Jonathan Stewart's going to take goal line carries, yes. But we all know. We all saw what McCaffrey can do. You cannot look at McCaffrey and have like, well, you know, he's kind of – no, he's good at football. He's hashtag good at football.
But he's white.
But he's white.
Well, you know, I know you make a good point, Tim.
I have not been the Christian McCaffrey supporter throughout this whole thing. My arguments were similar to the things that Frank did bring up as far as Cam Newton not really showing the touch as far as throwing to the running backs, never having a weapon quite like Christian McCaffrey to this point with the Panthers. And it's very confusing as far as that goes. I like to base a lot of my analysis and things that I've seen off of things that I've seen before. And I don't think, I think it's been a while since the NFL has seen a player quite like Christian McCaffrey. So we're not 100% sure what to do with this type of guy. He can be the between the tackles grinder. He can be a guy who catches the ball out of the backfield, but he is a little bit smaller. So you don't want him to get 30 touches a game. I'm coming around and I think he could be a very nice weapon. I'm concerned if you're going in the second round. I really wouldn't want to go there. If you're talking third round, you might be able to get him around that Isaiah Crowell range.
He's going right after Isaiah Crowell. He's going three right now.
That's the type of range I may have a little bit more comfort with. And you have to know that you're talking about these home leagues where a lot of people don't listen to whether it's us or haven't looked at these rookies very much during the off season. I'm starting to come around.
The amount of disrespect that Jonathan Stewart gets for not being able to catch passes is amazing to me. Like, they act like this team has never had a pass catching running back, but Jonathan Stewart like was their third down back when D'Angelo Williams was there. Like, this guy can catch passes. That just hasn't been the game plan with Cam Newton. They went to a more power running game. The big backs in there with Tolbert and Stewart, and it just seemed to work better for that offense, having the tall receivers on the outside and just pounding them up the middle. That just seemed to be what worked for this team. I had to get it in there. Yes,
it's finally there.
But I will say this about Christian McCaffrey. I don't think that this team needs to have a great short to intermediate passing game for him to succeed. the way this offense runs with Cam Newton and their option plays and their stretch plays and their draws and stuff, they can get him in space on a handoff or a pitch. It doesn't have to be a designed screen pass or a scramble dump off. Like they can find ways to get him in space. I think this offense has a little bit more to it than people are giving it credit for, because having a running quarterback, kind of like what we talked about earlier, with, you know, Deshaun Watson, it opens up a lot of possibilities, and it's another, you know, player on the field that the defenses have to account for. So you're getting McCaffrey in one-on-ones more often because you have that linebacker who's assigned to spy and things like that. So I think that McCaffrey can do just fine. And the third round, I'd get the itch. I think that's pretty interesting there.
Crazy to look back and think that Jonathan Stewart has a 47 catch season under his belt.
He can catch some passes. He's not too bad. He's a big dude, but he can catch passes.
He can. His high watermark in college was 22 catches in a college football season, which is definitely not bad by any stretch of the imagination. The crazy part to me is he only has two seasons since 2008 of more than that mark.
Well, he hasn't played full seasons either. He misses games. So.
He has one season of 47 receptions and one season of 25. The rest are all under 20.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's had certainly his missed games and stuff. So I wonder what his, you know, his per game, and he was splitting, you know, he was only 50% of that backfield for years, it seems like. So moving on to the Saints, and speaking of backfields that are going to be split up, at least on paper, Adrian Peterson, Mark Ingram, Alvin, is it Kamara or Kamara?
Kamara.
What did he say it was?
Please, for the love of God and everything holy, it Tamara. Is Alvin. It is. I'm not going to go on tilt about this. It is Alvin Kamara. If you are a fantasy football show, spend 15 minutes learning the Samaje Perine.
Perine.
Alvin, not Perine. Alvin Kamara.
Camera.
Camera. Oh,
yeah. Camera.
No? I think it's pronounced Reggie Bush, actually. Is that what?
Yeah. Tim, you're putting the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable. Emphasis on the wrong syllable. So it's Camera.
Sorry, I saw that.
Yeah. I'd rather just wash my hands of this whole thing and be done with it.
I want Camera. I want Kamara. All right, seriously. I like Kamara. You saw how they planned on using him out of the backfield, tossing him just passes. I don't know if they're going to pound him up the middle, as much. But you want the pass catching back in a New Orleans offense. So, and I'm trying to look up his ADP as we speak, and I hope it's all the way down here. I'd be totally glad if it's down all the way. Does anybody know off the top of their head?
1306.
Wow. 160. Wow. Yes. Give me that.
That's very late. I am shocked, actually, how late that was. I hadn't looked at his ADP at all because I was too concerned with why Peterson is so freaking high. But I hadn't even looked at Kamara. I'm very surprised that he's that late, and that sounds like a great value.
We're talking PPR. Everything we give, okay. So we're talking PPR and everything. We're not talking no standard PPR.
No, it's standard PPR. No, we're not talking about non-PPR. We're talking about standard PPR leagues.
Right.
Wow. If anyone has been following me for any length of time, they know how much I have been a fan of Alvin Kamara through this whole Alvin Kamara through this whole process.
You can't even say it and leave it as is.
He's I can't. It drives me nuts.
I get like
so,
that.
The Saints traded up for him. The Saints have averaged an ungodly amount of pass attempts to third down. And look back last year, Travis Cadet, I think, still had 50 targets or 60 targets last year without actually taking the time to look it up. This team, going back to the days of Darren Sproles, Reggie Bush, even Mark Ingram has had that pass catching role.
Pierre Thomas too.
Yes. Pierre Thomas there. This team has a designated role for a pass catcher, and Kamara is not a guy who is going to take it right up the middle, but he is going to be a guy that can play play the boundaries. He is laterally explosive. He doesn't have a ton of long speed, but he is plenty explosive. I am a big fan of Alvin Kamara at this point, but I also like Mark Ingram. I think he's a value where he's going too. I can see Adrian Peterson being a guy that gets a lot of touchdowns. I think, Frank, you mentioned before kind of the Jerome Bettis type of situation, but if you're talking about the guy in this backfield, I'll start with Mark Ingram.
Nice. I know that you were sort of on the fence and you were leaning Peterson a couple weeks back, so I'm glad to see you come around.
It's been tough just because I was looking very closely at what Peterson's done, and we really can't discount the history that's there with guys like Adrian Peterson, Matt Forte, Arian Foster. The other day I was doing a little bit of research on guys who have the 350 touches in a season, and the number of times those guys came up during that research. We should just take a minute and really respect the what we've seen from them over the years. And I think that's where I was at, kind of the nostalgia of looking back and thinking about what those running backs have done. But now that I'm in my right mind and a little bit away from that research.
All that, yeah. That fairy dust, like, yeah. Yeah, when you're looking up, it's like, oh my God, this guy.
It was nostalgia. It was looking back and the number of times Adrian Peterson has just went bonkers
isn't a Hall of Fame ballot. It's just a redraft league. That's all. For this season. I think that Mark Ingram, though, he's on one of those teams where if you look down at ADPs, right, and you just pick a player from each round that you would have on your team, Mark Ingram is going to be on every one of those teams. Like, if I could have like an all ADP team, like based on where they're going, he's going to be my sixth round pick or whatever it is every single time, because that is amazing if you get him there. And I think that he might not be the, like, quote, bell cow back, but I think he's going to be more than productive enough to give you he's being drafted as a running back two or three, and he has finished as a running back one each of the last two seasons. So locked and loaded, Mark Ingram will be on every one of my teams if I can get him in that spot.
Be a really fun exercise. I hope we do that.
You know what? Yeah, we can do that, and we can do it next week. Even if you guys want, we can kind of go through, and each of us can do our own ADP all star teams. I think that might be interesting to see what we come up with.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so we'll move on to the Falcons. I mean, this is a team that scored 540 points last year, and this is even with Julio Jones seemingly having a down year. I mean, he wasn't the complete, you know, number one player in fantasy or something, like he seems like he has the potential to do, but he was good.
He's still a beast. He's still, you know, he's Julio freaking Jones.
Absolutely. So I wasn't trying to say anything bad about Julio Jones, more about how impressive what this offense did last year, where they had other weapons. It wasn't just the Julio Jones show. I mean, they got it done with the running backs. Some of the other receivers got in there and pitched in. They had some big plays from guys that maybe you weren't even expecting them from, especially, you know, like Tevin Coleman. Sanu had a couple games in there. What do you guys think about the Falcons? And, I mean, 2016 numbers aren't repeatable, though, right, overall? So they're not going to score 540 points again, are they, Tim?
No, I don't think there's really any way they repeat what they did last year. Just to say a really quick story, I love my wife so much, and she really respects the fantasy football stuff that I do. She doesn't understand it at all, but she respects that I do it. And probably one of the few players that she knows is Julio Jones. And every time he's on the TV, I always just hear her from wherever she is in the house. She just yells, "Julio!" Just really, really loud. Whenever the announcer says his name, and it always cracks me up. Julio Jones is a beast. He should be where he is. The dynasty people can think what they want, but we know that at least this season he's going to be a beast. Matt Ryan, I think he has to be in line for some regression. These running backs should be in line for regression. I'm very concerned that Devonta Freeman already has a concussion under his belt this season. I think Tevin Coleman is a value, because I personally think when you have a concussion at this point in the preseason, you may be slightly predisposed to some type of concussion related injury later in the season.
I do like Tevin Coleman. I think that it's sort of interesting that you have a guy like Christian McCaffrey, who's going to be sort of that change of pace back in his offense. But Tevin Coleman's already that guy, and we've seen him do it before. But he's not getting the same respect that a rookie is. So I do like Tevin Coleman this year, especially he's one of those spots where, I mean, he's a league winner if something happens to Devontae Freeman. And Freeman's already missing time, like you just said. So, I mean, it's like,
The thing is, I find them different. I find McCaffrey and Coleman different because I think McCaffrey – excuse me, can do other things that Stewart can't do. I think Freeman does everything that Tevin Coleman can do, but better. Devontae Freeman, I was totally not on board with Devontae Freeman. I'm going to come out and say that. I'm like, oh, my God, this guy's small. I'm not a big fan. He's good, but, you know. And then they draft Tevin Coleman. I'm like, oh, the team hates this guy. The team hates Freeman. I sell him. I trade him in my dynasty leagues to Kevin O'Brien, the FF engineer. And everything we're in for a second round pick, and Devontae Freeman goes absolutely bonkers. So every Devontae Freeman owner, you're welcome, because the only reason why he went crazy is because I traded him away. But anyway.
So nobody's concerned that Julio Jones had 21% of his yards in one game?
No, I'm not. I'm not concerned. It's Julio Jones. Julio Jones is that name you just – the Ronco or whatever, you just set it and forget it. Yes, I'm drafting him. Yes, he's got the 27th quarterbacks. Matt Ryan has the 27th hardest schedule. So that's a pretty good schedule, right? So the 2, 4, 6th easiest schedule.
However, you know how good Julio Jones is.
I love how you have to count it out, Frank.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Julio Jones is so good. He got that corner fired. Like the next day, Carolina went out and fired that guy.
Ben Wicker, whatever. Yeah, he does that to everybody. Julio Jones is a beast. He's an animal. He's right now, I think, my second wide receiver off the board. His schedule, wide receiver PPR 27. So I'm all about him. Julio Jones is just value. They're not going to score the points. There's going to be a Super Bowl hangover. You can't go from 28-3 in the third quarter and then come back the next and lose and blow it. You blew it. I wish I had my.
What was that score again? Can I hear it one more time?
It was 28-3 in the third when everybody just got wrecked. Every Atlanta Falcon fan and every anti-Patriot fan was wrecked laughing. And then, you know, we all know how it turned out. But anyway, there's going to be some regression, obviously. I don't think they could do. Kyle Shanahan is not there. I know the whole it's awesome to say offensive coordinators mean nothing to game plan and game script, which means absolutely – I'm a nobody. So, but I honestly think that offensive coordinators and coaches actually do things for their team. Like they can – for instance, implement offensive schemes that can have the Atlanta Falcons scoring bonker points, going nuts. And once you eliminate a Kyle Shanahan from that equation, they're going to regress. That's just me, though. But I still think that Julio Jones is worth the wide receiver 2 pick. He's going to score enough points where it's totally, it'll totally validate your – I don't know. Where's he going in the first round, right? Second round? He's going at 105. So, yeah, I'm okay with Julio Jones at 105. Give me Antonio Browns, Julio Jones, and that's it. Cool. Beckham and safe.
So moving down to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, this is an offense that's got some people excited this offseason. They brought in, obviously, the new flashy talent in O.J. Howard. They brought in DeSean Jackson. They've got some – kind of a mess at running back with the 3-game suspension for Doug Martin. But, it's not stopping people from being excited, because now you've got Jacquizz Rodgers for a couple games that people think, you can get some use out of him, especially if you're, for example, waiting on Ezekiel Elliott's suspension. He kind of gives you that nice option there. Is there a player on this team, Mike Evans aside, that you guys are really excited about?
Jameson. Winston. The problem is that there are so many beasts on this team that I kind of feel like they're going to cannibalize each other with the targets. We all seen Doug Martin play that first game, and he looked fantastic. I'm sorry. He looked really good running the ball. from everything we've heard, or I've heard at least, it's his job in week four when he comes back. So I know we all like the dynasty guys like Jeremy McNichols, Snoop's nephew. Unfortunately, Hard Knocks did not give me any confidence in Jeremy McNichols. He does not seem prepared. Let's just put it that way. He doesn't seem prepared for the next level.
Boise State running backs, am I right?
I guess, yeah. Right. but yeah, so Winston is the only person, only player on that team that I can – Winston and Evans, I could say, I'm confident in drafting and starting. Not that they don't have awesome players. They have fantastic players, but they have too many fantastic players that they're just going to just eat from each other.
Tim, what do you think about the Bucs?
Yeah, that was hot. hot indeed. I like Deshaun D-Jax. There's not, you said it, there's not many parts of this offense I don't like right now. Doug Martin, when he comes back, Jacquizz Rodgers is kind of a guy that can maybe hold down the fort if you're facing a Zeke type of suspension, or if you do pick up Doug Martin later in the draft. I'm staying away from the tight ends because that's probably the one area I feel like they could really take away from each other the most. Cameron Braid, I don't think, is going away. O.J. Howard isn't going away. They'll probably just take from each other. But Mike Evans, Deshaun Jackson, there's so many great pieces here. I'm excited to see this offense because I'm ready to see the leader that is Jameis Winston. If you've watched Hard Knocks at all, you see this kid wants to be great. And that's what I love more than anything. You can tell with the really good guys like Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and Drew Brees, they just have the charisma and the want to be great leaders and great quarterbacks, and they just rally the teams behind them. They're not those quiet guys that are just going to be the Eli Mannings and be Eeyore, whatever else you want to call him. He's going to be the vocal leader that drives the team. I love it. I want this kid to be great.
Yeah, I like obviously Winston. You gotta like that his, you know, the fire that he's playing the game with. I would like to say real quick, I mean, I'm not targeting Cameron Brate or anything, but if I somehow miss on tight ends or find myself in a bad spot in drafts, I wouldn't feel terrible having him real late. I mean, he's basically going to be free. And especially early in the season, I don't think O.J. Howard's going to come out the gates and just take over their tight end one. I think that Brate's got that chemistry with Winston, and he can be useful for you at least while you're trying to figure out your tight end position if you find yourself in that bad spot. You know, if you're in a bigger league, 14-team league or something, and you somehow miss out on the tight ends, I think Brate can be helpful for you.
Yeah, and if you look at their strength of schedule, Tampa Bay, I mean, across the board, again, from 444.com, quarterback, it is the 24th hardest. Running back, PPR, it is the 17th. Wide receiver is the 28th. And then tight end, you were just talking about Brate. I just looked it up, 25th. So it seems like the NFC South has easy schedules. Like all four of them have some pretty, according to 4-4, has some pretty prime, you know, some primo matchups. So this sounds like they're all pretty good. Like this South.
Well, yeah, they all get to play each other. Wow. You know, they have six games in division, right? So that helps pad those numbers a little bit.
And they're stacked. I love their offensive weapons. And I mean, Carolina's defense is the best, I think, out of all of them. But this is a fun division. I think it's going to be a great division this year.
All right. Well, that wraps up the last division on our divisional breakdowns. You know what that means? It's time to get tilted up in here. Who's on tilt this week?
I think Tim is feeling it. I'm like a little tilted, but Tim is feeling it.
I am, and it started this week. As I mentioned before, I had my first fantasy football draft this week, which was nice. It was nice to put that first one under the belt, kind of rip the Band-Aid off and get moving a little bit. But what happened? I was supposed to have two this week, and I didn't have two this week. I was supposed to have two, but I didn't have two. And that's because someone didn't pay their league fees to the commissioner. Someone didn't turn in their money and screwed up the whole thing when we should have just started on time. League commissioners deserve so much credit for the crap they put through, whether it's add drops or, oh, I forgot to set my lineup, or collecting money and getting rid of it at the end of the year because everyone wants to be paid by before Christmas or whatever the day might happen to be of the last football game of the year. Get your shit in on time. It's not that hard. If you're going to make the commitment to play fantasy football and to be in a league where you're giving credits or whatever else you want to call it, then have the money set off to the side so you can pay it when shit's supposed to start. I'm so pissed about this. I was supposed to have a second draft this week, and it didn't even happen. Why? Why? It's so easy. It's not a big deal. Put the money off to the side. Keep this bitch moving.
I'm so excited. I dropped my headset and everything.
Just get do what I do. Get a little coin. I have a huge water bottle here, and I put all my change in it at the end of the year. That's my league money. Those are my league fees, and it's fantastic. Pay your debts, and if you're not going to be in the league, tell your commissioner as early as possible. I mean, seriously, I'm a commissioner for two leagues. It gets so annoying. Or we've had just to go on your point, I guess just to expand on it, Tim. We've had in my league, I've had the same draft day for the last 5 years. Everybody knows that's the day. September 6th, the day before the league kicks off, right? That Wednesday, it's been our draft day forever. This year, somebody can't make it. Guess what? Last year, two guys couldn't make it last year. They were out of the league. I found replacements. Sorry, I don't want to do this. I don't mean to do this. But there's 10 other owners that were responsible or that planned accordingly around this date, and you didn't. So, there's nothing I can do. I'm not going to reschedule 10 other people or 11 other people. So you, because you can't make it that day, sorry, I'm going to have to replace you.
And obviously, you're the dick for doing it.
Exactly. I'm the asshole. I'm like, but no, it's just you put me in a bad spot. This year, I have somebody no selling me. It's a wrestling term that my wrestling buddies taught me. I don't even like wrestling, but it's like I text or I call, I don't get a response back. Like, bud, hey, bud, are you in the league or not? Like, you got to let me know. And it's a week away. It's 2 weeks. Well, we can change away. So I hear you, Tim. Commissioners have to deal with a whole bunch of BS. Try not to be a douche and pay your league fees on time. If you miss a waiver wire claim, you miss a waiver wire claim. Everybody else has the time or sets their alarm to put their waivers in. You didn't. Sorry, it's not the commission's fault. So definitely, I feel you, Tim.
Yeah, it's definitely a thankless job. I have a home league. I mean, it survived in one form or another for going on almost 15 years now, but. If it wasn't for the commissioner, myself, the commissioner before me, and there's been three different commissioners, but it's like it seems like this league is going to completely fold 3 days before the draft every single year because somebody can't do it or they decided they don't want to play anymore and they don't tell anybody and they just like disappear or they won't pay their fees or they hate somebody else in the league for whatever reason it is. It's just like, oh my God, guys, this is just a game. You need to survive in a room with each other for 2.5 hours once a year.
Right.
And that's it. You don't have to trade with this person. You don't have to hang out with them, whatever, but just like survive. You just make your job so much easier for everybody else in the league. Just have fun. I mean, it seems like we say it every week. This is a game.
It's a game.
Just do your bit, man.
We're fantasizing about football players. Just think about it.
Yeah.
Mike, real quick tilt. Sorry, my real quick tilt is like, listen, we all try to, there's some people on Twitter that use Twitter for information, for, just interacting with fellow-minded individuals. And then there's people trying to make a name for themselves in a certain field. But when it comes to the football field or the fantasy football field, try not to, if you're trying to be that professional, try not to retweet or change a tweet of like a Michael Rapaport. Michael Rapaport? He's an actor. Rapaport. Yeah. of these legitimate NFL insiders, let's just say, and pretend like you have sources. Like, guys, you don't have sources. If you're not Schefter, if you're not these guys, you do not have. My sources tell me that the Patriots running back depth charts, it's still up in the air. Like, no, duh. You don't have sources. You just read that off the site. You try not to be something you're not. You're like, just stop. We all know. We all know you're bullshitting.
You're a fraud.
You're a fraud. Because guess what? If we're following you, we're following the Schefters of the world. We're following the beat reporters, the beat writers. You're not breaking story. You're literally just – it's on my timeline. Like, I'll see Dan Graziano, although Beckham Jr. might miss game one. And then no-name guy – my sources say Odell Beckham Jr. might miss game one. Like, idiot, Dan Graziano's your source. You know, he's on my timeline. I just read it 20 seconds before you posted it, idiot. Like, I hate that.
Just save yourself some time and hit the retweet button. You don't need to go out there and, like, try to reformulate and republish a tweet.
Or say my sources. Oh, my insider.
I'm going to start saying Adam Schefter is my source.
Yeah, why not?
My unnamed source.
My source, Adam. I'm just going to put in quotes. Like, quotes, yeah. Adam is the name of my source.
Name redacted.
Name redacted, yes. But anyway, that's my little tweet. Like, guys, okay, try not to be. You're not Schefter. You're not, Fabian.
Before we get out of here this week, I have to go on tilt about something. We didn't get to talk about Zach Ertz today, and it pisses me off that I didn't get to talk about Zach Ertz and how awesome this guy is this week.
What if we would have spoke about Zach Ertz? Then what would you have said? Nothing.
How awesome he is. And
no, I mean, you're tilt. You had no tilt.
Zach Ertz, respond to my texts. I need you to love me back.
His actual phone number or his tweet?
No, I'm just, I don't at all, but
I thought you were going to go on tilt because we haven't talked about the Vikings.
I got my fill of the Vikings last week, all the 20 minutes or whatever we talked about it.
Worst segment ever. No, I'm only
That's all right. Tyler doesn't listen to this show anyway.
He doesn't. He hates it. Or hates me. Whatever.
So one last thing before we get out. You guys obviously can't see it because this is once again a podcast, but I've got on our Fantasy Tilt shirts here. And let me tell you, they are so soft.
They really are.
It feels so good. So go to DynastyHappyHour.com and pick up one of these shirts because they are great.
I'm not even BSing. I'm dead serious. This is a soft, soft shirt. I got to get the material or whatever from you guys, whoever ordered this, because this is fantastic.
They are really great. So DynastyHappyHour.com, once again, for every shirt that's sold, we're making a donation to Hilarity for Charity, supporting Alzheimer's research and awareness. So it's a great cause there. Be sure to check that out. Also follow us on Twitter. Frank doesn't need any more followers, so don't worry about him. But at TimNFL and at Keaton Denley. And if you really want to add on to Dynasty Frank, he's at Dynasty Frank. You can follow the show also at DHH Fantasy Tilt, and we will see you guys next week.
This has been a Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network.